40 days from this evening, we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you say, well, why in the world do we do this at Hillview? I thought we were kind of free and fancy. And I want you to know that tonight there's some things I want you to grasp a hold of. And the reason that we're in a circle tonight is intentional. Because God doesn't move in the straight lines we've created Him to be. And the cross is all around us. And Jesus is always all around us. And the Holy Ghost is always around us. And you know, God is moving on our congregation to be released. And we've come a long way and we've journeyed, but you know what I love about Jesus? He's never finished with us. And you know, here's what's so cool. You know, how many of y'all feel like you're old? I mean, you know some stuff. Okay, I get a couple of... Big on feeling old, a little short on knowing some stuff. But guess what? Together, we're in this together. And you know what? For just a moment, before I go to the scripture text, because tonight's more of an experience. How many of you came tonight for just the sole reason you love Jesus? Amen. You know, I believe that here. And on behalf of the pastoral staff, I want to thank you all because I want to teach you something that we've begun to embrace, but we're going to embrace even that much more, okay? We're all in this together. And I want you to hear something. There's no magic in the pastors. Those of you that know us know that. But I want to tell you something. There's spirit in God's people. And in a church like Hillview, you know, people ask me all the time, they say, how do you do all this? I said, I don't. I do what I'm supposed to do. There's no way I can pray for everybody and know everybody. And that's not what church is about. Church is about that you and I would truly, madly, passionately, intimately fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know, it's kind of interesting how this works. We have Ash Wednesday today. We're going to put some ashes on our forehead if you're cool and comfortable with that. But we're going to do it a little bit different because I want to honor the Scripture tonight. I believe that we're all priests. In the Second Covenant, and Pastor Jeff did a great job with this on the second Sunday when he talked about the curtain was torn and we all have access to God. And I want you to begin to dream with me. If we truly were to minister to each other as God has called us to, what would happen, first of all, to this place? Okay, absolutely. I want y'all to talk tonight. This is a talking time tonight. Good. Now, but I want you to dream because you know what? I believe God's put a dream in you all. You all know my dream. I want to see every living, breathing soul saved. There's your pastor's dream. Okay, with that dream, then there's a lot of other dreams. Because guess what? After they're saved, there's got to be some of you that are helping them get delivered. We come with junk. How many of y'all come with junk? You all know I'm a big lake person, and at the end of the lake season, you have to pull your boat out of the water, and it never fails. I don't know what this stuff is. It's scum from hell, and it gets on the side of your boat. And Brad James, you know, you're a chemical man. I mean, you can throw chemicals on it and everything. I finally found something to clean it with. Snowy Bowl toilet cleaner. And I don't know why it's got to be Snowy Bowl, but it's got to be Snowy Bowl gel. That's the best. Well, one day I'm out here cleaning up this boat, and I'm throwing Snowy, you know, I get kind of into it, man, groove. And I got all this Snowy Bowl in there, and I'm watching it eat away the barnacles. And I'm going, be gone. You know what? After we come to Christ, I don't know about you all, but I still got some barnacles in my thinking. Anybody else got that problem? For you mechanical type, I still have some corrosion on my cables. Now, my cables are good and they're connected to heaven, but I get some corrosion on my cables. Y'all got the big, you know, that green nasty looking that comes on your battery cable. And guess what? You're still connected, but it'll cause you to not realize your energy. if you don't let God take the corrosion off the cables. Is this making sense? So there's some things I'm going to really encourage us to do tonight. I want us to start, I'm kind of bringing into this text, if you want to follow me in the text, John chapter 8. It's the precious story of the gospel. And the theme tonight is this, from ashes to life. From ashes to life. If I was a good Episcopalian at your funeral, I would say ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and the human temple turns and returns back to the formation that it was created from. Ash Wednesday is to remind us, I think, of several things. First of all, we don't start with God, but God wants to start with us. We don't just come to God. God literally comes to us. Is everybody that far along? You know, I know everybody's out there seeking God, but I just want you to know He got to you before you got to Him. God always gets to us before we get to Him. And if you don't understand that basic truth, there was a book out one time called God Chasers. And I thought, what poor theology. I said, has this guy ever read the text? I mean, he had this image in people's lives that if they would do all these little things and they were running after God all the time. I'm like, buddy, let me help you. Here's the deal. It's not that I run after God. It's that God lovingly runs over me. Thank God that He will run into me. And then guess what He does? This where it gets good. Then He'll run through me. And when God starts running through me, I begin to get cleansed. And I think this is going on in our church. How many of you all are getting a little bit better each and every week? How many of y'all have sin? You go, oh gosh, I still like this, but I don't know why I like this. Because I really know this is not good stuff. And I have to let God cleanse me. And so tonight I want to talk about from ashes to life. From sin to life. From darkness into the light. And for 40 days, I hope that you will take this moment, and I'm going to encourage you to do something. Find something. Maybe you want to give something up. You know, maybe if you're not going to eat sweets for 40 days, or you know, if you have a tobacco habit, you're not going to smoke for 40 days. That'll throw you into a serious prayer life. I fasted Copenhagen for 40 days one time. I prayed all the time. I was praying. I understood finally what God meant when He said, pray without ceasing. I said, I am, Lord. It was something that reminded me, man, I got so many things in my life the accessories that I depend on other than God. That's what fasting's about, is to just let us know. Now watch, I want to encourage you. I think God's a lot wider than we make Him be. Some of you may need to take something out. But some of you may need to put something in. You know, this might be a good 40 days to say, you know what? Every morning, I'm going to pick up the Bible and I'm going to read a chapter of one of the Gospels for 40 days. And I'm going to see what God does with me. Maybe some of you really need to just take a day. You know, I don't care what day it is. You've got 7 to choose from. But you're going to have one day and you say, okay, I'm taking this. Maybe you need to give up a TV show. I'm not going to tell you which one. For 40 days. Now check this out. Watch it. Because I want you to know we got time. Everybody's got some show you watch, all right? Like for me, this worked one time. I fasted ESPN. Me and God hung out a long time during that fast. I said, okay, if I was going to be watching ESPN, because I have to do little things like this because I'm not a natural reader. I won't read stuff and I won't study and I won't be disciplined. So I have to do stuff. I say, okay, for this amount of time, I'm not going to do this and I'm going to read. You're very aware of my unwillingness to read, aren't you, Mark Sarkozy? We went through college together. And Mike would go, have you read your notes? I go, is that required? That helps to know stuff. You know, I'm just giving you some ideas. You might take, you say, okay, I usually watch the news in the morning for 30 minutes. Okay, I'm going to take that sector of my life for the next 40 days and I'm just going to start praying for people. However God puts it on you tonight. Before we go into this text, I want us to just together, and you all just do this one by one, and it'll be in great order, and the Spirit will have this under control. He got here before we got to the service. And I want you to name just something that stands out in your heart about Jesus. I want you to hear who's in this room. We just finished singing together. Take me to the... When you hear the name Jesus, what comes to your mind? What comes out of your heart? So if you feel good with... Guess I'm going to encourage us to do a lot of this. I'm on this big trip again that the church needs to engage and communicate. You okay with that, brother? It's kind of a crazy concept, isn't it? I think this talking head church has just gone on too long. That's not the way God... We got to mix it up together because we're in this what? Yes. Guess what's been the highlight of my week? What God did in Keith Martin's life. It's been the highlight of my week. I woke up on Monday morning and I went, God, you were New Testament here Sunday. Pastor Keith Martin. He said, is he really a pastor? We're all really pastors. We're ministers to people. And Keith Martin, last Wednesday night, he prayed. He said, I got this guy riding in my truck. I ain't sure he's saved or not. Would y'all pray for me? Now, in men's group, we don't pray as good as you women. We don't know where the throne room is and all that stuff. We just say, God, would you help Keith lead this boy to get saved? God said, there's some Kentucky boys praying to me. He could tell because it wasn't real complex prayer. And guess what God said? I'm going to help Keith have some courage to be able to share to his bro in the truck. He ends up sharing. They got two other brothers. And on Sunday morning, Keith Martin, not a pastor in the church, not one of these certified, certificated doctor kind of guys. I'm talking about Keith Martin, my brother in Christ, my fellow co-worker in the gospel, was up there with three of his friends, baptized them in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Keith, the story didn't stop there. Huh. Well, see, these three brothers, they had like family hanging out. Matt, Chuck, and Nick. Did I get it? Did I get it, Keith? Matt, Chuck, and Nick, one of them had brought their sister. And she's sitting in 8 o'clock service. And she's watching all this go on. And she's feeling the love vibe that's coming out of all y'all that were in worship there. And she said, well, I'm not going to hell either. And she walked up to the altar Sunday. And she got what? Now check this out. What would happen in 1 week if all of us who claim to follow Jesus would just follow Him for 1 week? Campus, this would trip you all out. You all would no longer have to go on mission trips. Because you would actually be in mission. And in fact, you would go to more foreign lands if you would start on campus first. This is what's so amazing. If you'll start it, God will take you to the ends of the earth. And so for just a moment, when I say Jesus, y'all just kind of, you're going to have to kind of stand up so everybody can hear. Is that cool? And for y'all that have a gentle voice, we're going to listen real carefully. And just for a moment in the Spirit, how many of y'all can, let's just give the Spirit opportunity to just move among us. Amen. God, just look at your neighbor and go, He's here. Come on, just let him know He's here. He's here. Come on. Let him know He's here. Josh, He's here. He's here, girls. All right, Mickey, go ahead. All right. Y'all just, let's hear what Jesus is like. Ooh. Freedom from myself.
He allows me to love other people.
Love other people. Absolutely.
He allows me to forgive when I don't want to.
To forgive when I don't want to.
Strength, courage. He shows unconditional love.
Unconditional. Yeah, bro.
He saved me.
Amen.
He doesn't keep up with how many times I messed it up.
That's true.
He gives me grace.
Grace. grace.
He's my comforter.
Comforter.
I know that He will always be there for me.
He's always going to be there.
He helps me communicate with people that don't want to hear it.
Yeah, helps people hear that they don't want to hear. Rhonda. Absolutely, reason for life.
Friend.
It's pretty cool. God is our friend, isn't He? I'm so glad God's not a CEO, aren't you? Absolutely. Leonard. Amen. I like it. Amen. Now see, there's a real preacher right there. Did you notice that? Peace, grace, omnipotence. Timmy Young's going, ob what? Come on, what else, guys? Come on, men's group, y'all always talking. Talk.
He's answered everything.
He's answered everything, absolutely.
Hope.
He
intervenes.
Intervenes. Y'all just spit it out. Yeah, guys.
Joy.
Helps people get better.
He helps people get better. What is your name?
Jacob,
you have a very good shirt on, a U of L shirt. I know you love Jesus. I can tell.
He makes me speak through Christ when
He makes me speak when I want to say something else. From the mouth of... There you go.
My counselor who gives me wise counsel.
Absolutely, man.
He saved my soul.
Amen.
Amen. Freedom. Freedom, bro. Scott. He has a compassionate heart for internationals. Well, absolutely. He made them. So, yeah, he would have us. Amen. Oh, He gave you a heart for internationals. Cool.
Victory, man.
Absolutely.
I'm back in the corner.
Go. Hey, I got you, girl. Stand up. I can't see you. All right, come on.
He helps us to forgive our enemies.
Oh, man. Faithful. Peace. Absolutely.
Colorblind.
Amen. 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 That's why I'm voting Jesus. I'm voting Jesus because He said, neither Greek, neither slave nor free. He said, neither male nor female. It sounds like to me that He said, everybody, come on. Amen. Go ahead, girl. He answers prayers even when we think what? Yeah. Done.
My Redeemer.
Amen.
He's still in the business of performing miracles every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He likes to work where nothing else will.
Amen. Yeah, Larry.
He'll pull you up when you're down.
He
helps you deal with grief.
He does, brother. He does.
It was a personal thing. He saved my soul and wouldn't take nothing from my journey.
Amen. Amen, Chuck.
Calmness and passion.
Amen. Amen. All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Betty Lois, here's our senior adults talking about GPSs. I'm telling you, the world is moving. Oh, yeah. He is. He's our navigation. Yeah.
You know, you have a conscience when you're doing something wrong.
Does he do that to you, too? He does that to me, too. I don't like that part, but it's really good for us. Amen. Energy energizes. Amen. Mitch.
My provider.
Ask and He will forgive.
Forgive him people of their sins.
He forgives people of their sins. He does.
He forgives us and ourselves. He forgives other people.
He forgives ourselves and He forgives other people. Yeah, hon. Calms. Wow. You've got a habit of that, doesn't he? Seas, winds, storms. Okay. He loves me in spite of the ignorant decisions I make. How many of y'all have that, Jesus? Amen. Yeah, cool. One more time. I'm sorry. I want to hear these things.
He loves me no matter how bad it is to bring it, lay it down at the cross.
Amen.
And pray for my enemies.
Amen.
They need a different direction.
Cool.
Amen.
He always gives us unconditional love.
Amen. I want you to just listen to this text. Tell me the Holy Spirit's not here. Go with me to John chapter 8. I'm sorry. Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
He gave His life to forgive me so I can show other people how much He loves them. And He'll be there.
Absolutely. Love, forgiveness. Let's go.
Patience.
Patience.
Not
He adopted me. Amen. Never leaves. Wow. Never grows old, does it? He saves. Amen. Absolutely. Yeah, bro.
He let me know that I'm not by myself, that there is somebody out there that loves me all the time, regardless of what I do.
Amen. Wow. Did y'all hear that? He doesn't doubt me when I doubt Him. Y'all preach so much better than we do. Man, y'all have given me like 7 years of sermons here. I want us to talk among ourselves for a second. And just go with me to John chapter 8. When I find my Bible, there it is. It's going to be real quick tonight because this is a bad experience. I got it, boys. I'll get you here in a minute, all right? Let's go through the text real quick. John 8, I just want to remind you this. And you all said it already, so it's not going to take long. Because tonight, I want us to come to this place here and make it ground to remember that we have a Jesus that has taken away our sins. And I don't think we take that so lightly in the church. I think that's become a cliche in evangelical Christianity. But until you realize that Jesus Christ truly has taken away your sins, you'll never live. Now, you'll exist, but you'll never live. And I don't know any other thing that takes away the sin other than the blood of Jesus. I can talk myself into having a better day, but I can never have an eternal life without Jesus. It goes a lot deeper than we are. And Betty Lois, to use your GPS, it's a GPS that really allows me to connect with heaven because I most of the time just want to connect with what I see. There's two things I think you need to keep in mind always. And as we continue to become a community of faith at Hillview, and I want you all to know, we will always continue to become something in Christ. All right? 5 years from now, we won't be doing the same stuff we do today, but we'll be loving the same person we loved. We're going to let God move us through the ages to tell the same story. This is one of the most precious stories in the Bible, in my opinion. We all have our own. This is one of mine. John chapter 8, a woman is caught in the very act of adultery. And I can't imagine this, but in a circle, they bring her before the religious. And I guess the reason I relate to her is there's been more than one occasion in my life that I've been brought before the religious. And all kinds of things were said about her. You can imagine she did not live the lifestyle that led to her being very blessed. And she was caught. And the Pharisees wanted to trap Jesus. You go with me to verse 6. They ask Him this question in verse 5. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, it commands us to stone such a woman. Now, I want you to know that this is not an ancient text, that this still goes on today in parts of the world. I would tell you that it goes on emotionally in parts of the church. There's more than one way to throw a rock. The last time I read the Bible, it said that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you all read that? It said that when we all stand under the cross, it's level ground. It said that we all got different struggles in different areas, and that's why when people tell me all the time, well, over at Hillview, y'all got some people doing some stuff. I said, yeah, they're doing it with y'all's church members. Y'all are selling it to them. But you know what? I'll tell you something else. Over at Hillview and a lot of other places in the world, God's doing His thing, and He's helping you not listen to the stoners anymore. They said, the law of Moses says you're supposed to stone such a woman. I want you to hear something. Such a woman. I want you to know that Jesus would never call you such a woman or such a man. I want you to know something, that Jesus knows your name just like He knew Zacchaeus' name. And I want you to know that God created you and He made you and He loves you and He died for you and He's risen for you and He is in you and He will not let go of you and He will return and you will be with Him because He is a God of grace. And I want you to know that this grace is not a cheap grace, because this instrument of death dripped with blood for quite some time so that you and I might be clean. It's not a cheap grace. And not everybody who says they follow Him have been graced. He says, many will say, Lord, Lord, and say, I don't even know you. Because you can't say, Lord, Lord, and then say, stone such a woman as this. Well, they were using this whole setup to trap Jesus, and this is what Jesus did. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with His finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, if any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. I want to encourage you in the next 40 days, watch your thoughts about others. And be very careful when you want to throw stones at others. Because you're worshiping very intensely for the next 40 days a Jesus that died for others. And even in a society where everything is always about us, including our religious identity, and sometimes even our own makeup is about who we are and what we want, remember, there is a Jesus that forgives others, and He forgives you. There was only one man that could have thrown the stone. Jesus. Did you hear that? There was only one man that could have thrown the stone. But obviously He wouldn't throw the stone, because I heard a great sermon tonight from the people of God that He's loving and forgiving and graceful and always with me and will stay with me. And even when I make stupid decisions, He'll keep going on with me. He's my GPS. He's there. He's my Savior. He saved me. My life has never been the same. That Jesus bent down and He wrote on the ground. He wrote on the ground. And when He straightened up with the profound reality of grace. I'm going to tell you something you better always realize. Religion runs when grace shows up. Religion runs when grace shows up. Religion will run when grace shows up. If you notice, when those Pharisees and religious leaders, when they crucified our Lord, they got out of town. They went away. They got away from what they've done. They ran, because you know what? There was the possibility that on the third day, what He said might be true. And it was. He straightened up after He wrote on the ground, and guess what? Nobody threw any stones. So I just want to tell you, in the next 40 days, watch your stone throwing. Don't get so caught up in politics that you forget what we have running for the candidate of the leader of this nation is human. But you better make sure that you understand this. What is in the core of your spirit that communicates to your soul, that leads you every day into precious eternal life, is the divine Son of God that will never be shut down. Amen. Keep a balance. He didn't throw a stone. I've learned in my few short years here on earth, and I've made many mistakes, but as my hair grays and my knees hurt, I've learned this. Always better to err on the side of grace than to cast judgment on the side of religion. Always. The world wants to know our Jesus, and we have handed them evangelical Christianity. They're tired of evangelical Christianity. They're sick of our churches, our bumper stickers, our slogans, and our political rallies. They're really waiting for us to straighten up just like Jesus did and say, who among us can throw a stone? And then they're waiting for us to bend back down. And he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And at this, those who heard him began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. This was a preview of what he was fixing to declare. He declared this in John chapter 19 when he said this, "It is finished." Now, God's always a paradox. When God says, "It is finished," that means it's just begun. When he said, "Your sins are forgiven to this woman," a new life is fixing to rush through her existence. Because look what he says. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Guess what Jesus is telling us? Go now and what? We're going to take a mark of ashes. And pastors, you have different groups here that you love. But tonight I'm going to do this a little different. We're going to minister to each other. Y'all okay with that? Y'all got friends, you got loved ones. This is just going to become the altar space. The ashes tonight have been placed in our communion cups, our goblets, to remind us before there was blood, there was dirt. Next time you take communion from this cup, I want you to remember this. Your sins also in this cup, covered by the blood of Jesus. He who made us has forgiven us. And that changed everything. So we can go and live, amen? And we can leave a lot of the things that have choked us down. And we can embrace those things that will bring us to life. Maybe tonight you don't have a relationship with Christ. Guess what? Come on and invite Jesus into your life tonight. There's people that would love to share that with you. If you do invite Christ into your life tonight, come and tap one of the pastors because we want to celebrate with you, okay? And let you begin to live this life, amen? If you've never been baptized, we'd love for you to come and have that experience and begin to live this what? Life. Did you get it tonight? Jesus loves all of us. Thus we love Him. And now guess what? Because He loves me, I shall love those that surround me, and even those I do not know. We do that, the world around us changes. Amen? Paul said this, "What will remain after it's all said and done, and we've run our race and danced through all of our economies and done all of our political stuff and structured our society?" He said three things will remain: faith, hope, and love. And Paul said, out of all my searching and seeking and studying and living life, the greatest of these is love. Can y'all do this tonight? Absolutely. So tonight, let's come together. And after you come and take the ashes and just kind of put them on the forehead here, you may want to pray. And guess what? Then you can leave. And in 40 days, we're going to celebrate the most incredible event known to humanity. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And because of that, you and I get to live a life where we don't have to be confined and bound and busted by sin anymore. Pretty incredible, amen? Pretty dynamic. Pretty eternal. Brought to you by the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Through the Son, Jesus, who was glorified by the Creator that made Him in the Spirit that brought Him back. He is God. Let's stand, and you may hear some music, but you come and come with somebody and put those ashes on their head and remember who God is. You can pray, you can linger, you can sing, and then we'll need to leave sometime because your children are in Awana. And to be loving to the Awana teachers, they love your children. They have seen them long enough tonight. So let's come and worship, all right? This moment's open to all of us who follow Christ to come and worship together.